The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
Tomas, call Jeremy as soon as you can. We can't hear you.
We're connected. We're just not getting any return audio from LA. He got you. You were live on the board.
Tomas, we cannot hear you. A Merlot that we're going to pair with some great food. We are America's number one syndicated radio food and wine program, brought to you with great information about good wines and great food on each episode. Thanks for all your inquiring emails sent from your home country, literally from all around the world, from the East Coast, from the Left Coast, from Italy, from Baja California, from New Zealand, just about everywhere. Welcome. Our in-house special invited guest audience, both hungry and thirsty tonight, and they're getting started with a little bit of vino as we get the program off the ground. Our program broadcasts each week, remembering that each time we reflect on what we're all about, and that is, wine is food. A meal is a meal, but with a glass of wine, it's a celebration. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine celebrates any events. Remembering also, we discover lots of information and taste and flavor as we enjoy good food and pair it with excellent wines, because wine is bottled poetry. This is your first time listening to Wines du Jour. Stay tuned. You need to know that we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during the broadcast, and Wines du Jour food and wine radio broadcast is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio on CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, AHA Radio, and on several worldwide internet systems all around the globe. And we're also available on podcast and free on iTunes. So listen to us also on Wonder Radio or Warp Radio. We got to go to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wine this is your. We're having a great time here, and I want you to know that wine improves with age. The older I get, the better I like it. You know what I'm saying? Okay, that's a good thing. I want to start out tonight talking about the winery that we're featuring this evening from California. It's called McIntyre. McIntyre wines are absolutely outstanding, and Steve McIntyre, who is the owner of the winery, is the man that's done almost this whole thing by himself. He started out, he bought 80 acres back in 1973, and he planted 80 acres of the grapes, and he's featured Pinot Noir and Chardonnay vines. Now, you know, we talk each week about different varietals, and I've talked many times about Chardonnay and how there are different clones, if you will, of Chardonnay, and they blend those clones at the time that they're going to get ready to bottle it, although the bottle just simply says Chardonnay, but there may be more than one clone in that Chardonnay. Well, and the reason I'm saying that is that this evening, the vineyard that we have here from McIntyre, for the Chardonnay, there are two different clones that they have. They grow them side by side in the vineyard, and they take them out and they put a certain percentage of one with the other. They kind of make a recipe based on how those grapes taste each and every year. So they don't use 50-50. It might be 80-20, it might be 54, 37, whatever the combination is to get the taste that Steve and his people want to make work well. The Pinot Noir now, he has 13 acres of Pinot Noir. And Pinot Noir, as I've mentioned also in the past, is the most difficult varietal grape to grow. No matter where in the whole world, it is not easy. It doesn't like it too hot. It doesn't like it too cold. It doesn't like it too wet. It doesn't like it too dry. It doesn't like certain types of soil. So you can't just say, oh, gee, there's 20 acres, let's plant Pinot Noir. Your chances of getting a great bottle of wine are really, really poor by doing it that way. And up until about 30 years ago, that's what was normally done. A winemaker or a winery owner would just plant whatever varietal they needed in whatever land they had available. But fortunately, in the last several years, we've decided that that's not necessarily what we should be doing. And many, many, many wineries have pulled grapes out of the vineyard and replaced them with a different varietal. And guess what? They're winning gold medals like crazy, where before they couldn't get a good bottle of wine out of the same property. So it just depends on where it is. Now, McIntyre Vineyards is actually in an area that most of you should know about. It's called the Monterey area, Monterey County. That is the Santa Lucia Highlands. That is the AVA that we call it. That's the certain area that has varietals for. And this 2013 is the vintage that we're tasting this evening. Now, it retails for about $36. Everybody always wants to know that. And the other thing they want to know is, what is the alcohol percentage in this bottle? Well, this happens to be what we would consider to be just perfect, 14.3. is actually what we're looking at. So it's good. It tastes well, and I have to tell you, the chef here at Sette Bello has done something I think everybody's going to love, and that is there's a vegetable known as rapini. We all know broccoli, but you may not know rapini, and I have to tell you, rapini is delicious. It's a very, very, very popular vegetable in Italy, as a matter of fact. So what they've done is they've taken some rapini, they've sautéed it with a little bit of garlic and red pepper flakes, and then they've sautéed some sausage, can't go bad with that, and the two together to make a nice little pizza with a little bit of basil, mozzarella, and Parmesan. That is going to be so good. It'll be out here in about 5 minutes or so. And I have to tell you, it's going to taste so well with this Chardonnay. Now, let's talk a little bit about Sette Bello. Sette Bello is the name of the restaurant that we're in this evening, of course, and I just need to let you know that Sette Bello has two locations in Las Vegas area. One where we are this evening at the Village Square Shopping Center, and then they have the second one out in the southeast part of Las Vegas in Green Valley. So Settebello is a name that doesn't have anything to do with pizza. It's Italian, obviously, but it doesn't have anything to do with pizza. So let me tell you a little bit about it. The most valuable and sought-after card in an Italian card game is called a Settebello, or it's also known as Scopa. Scopa is the deck of cards, and there are 40 cards in that deck. And out of that, the choice one would be the Settebello. So when you're playing this game of Scopa, which you can do, incidentally, if you like, you can find out about it and play it online. It's available. But anyway, I don't want to get into that too much. I want to talk more about the pizza. Everybody knows, I believe, that at least that has come to Wines du Jour in the past, that pizza was supposedly invented in Napoli. The Napolitans, as we like to call the people that live there, love it. And I have to tell you, they have created a uniqueness about how to make pizza. Folks, you can buy pizza in the grocery store, you can get it in the frozen food section, and so on and so forth. It is caca compared to really good quality pizza. And I said that loosely. And the reason I'm saying that is that the type of ingredients, if you were to go to Naples and order a pizza in any of the pizzerias in Naples, they all make the pizza exactly the same way, and I'll tell you what that is here in just a moment. And they make the pizza that's kind of what we call loose, or people in the business, we would call it wet. It's kind of flimsy. So that's why the way we look at it in America is the quality type of pizza you consume with a knife and a fork. Those of you in New York that pick it up with your hand, fold it in half, and shove it in your mouth is kind of rude. But it's okay. If that's the way you want to do it, that's all right. Nothing wrong with that. But the reason I'm saying that is that one of the most important parts about pizza is the flour that's used. Now, sure, you can go to the grocery store. You can buy, you know, three or four different kinds of flour and say, oh, boy, that's the best. Well, that's not. Flour coming from the Naples area, the grade is called 00, which means very, 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 very fine. The average all-purpose flour that you buy in the store is not even close to 00. So that means that you can use the same recipe, but you're not going to get the same results because the flour is different. Makes sense, I hope. The prosciutto that they use, and of course we love prosciutto, coming to us from Parma, Italy. I'm sure you probably know that. And that's where they import it here at both of the Settebello pizzerias is from Parma. The tomato, I've talked about this many times in the past, the best tomato in the world, especially for making pizza or pasta or any type of an Italian dish, is called San Marzano. San Marzano grows only in the southern part of Italy. They've tried to get it growing in other areas. It doesn't have the same taste, and the main reason is the actual soil conditions in the southern part of Italy make the tomato taste a certain way, and you can't duplicate that, even though you might have the seeds, if you will, from the San Marzano. So from Naples, the San Marzano tomato is used. Prosciutto, I mentioned that. Prosciutto crudo, which is different than prosciutto cotto. I don't want to get too complicated here, but they both come from the Parma area. And of course, everybody is familiar with Italian cheese. It's called Parmesan. Parmigiano Reggiano, that's what we like. It comes from Modena. That's in Italy, or Modena, if you like to. And then pancetta. That's another beautiful ham that they have, which is what we might call bacon, but it's not cured. I'm sorry, it is cured, but it's not smoked. So the pancetta is a different taste. And when you cut it up and saute it, it's just beautiful. And it's completely different than, you know, what we're used to for smoky bacon. And then salami, or salumi, which means a whole type of salamis, and is called salumi. And you may not know this. Everybody know about Mario Batali, one of our friends that's a chef? He's on TV. He has four restaurants here in Las Vegas and so on. Well, he grew up in Seattle, Washington, whether you know that or not. And his father owns a place that makes sausages and meats cured. That's where they buy the meat for Settebello, the salumi or salami, if you will, comes from Seattle, Washington, because it's almost impossible to import it from Italy because of the FDA and all the different laws and regulations. You're not allowed to do it. So it's made a different way there than what we think is the right way. So we just go to Seattle and get that. And then another one, the Salumi is the name of Mario Batali's father's place in Seattle, Salumi. So I thought you'd like to know about that. That's kind of interesting, or at least I think it is. So they use all the finest materials here at Settebello to be able to duplicate it as close as they possibly can with the Naples pizza. I have to tell you, most pizzerias, especially here in the southern Nevada area, could kind of care less. You know, they get the cheapest flour they can buy. They get the cheapest yeast they can get, the prosciutto, the least expensive, et cetera, et cetera. And they sell you a pizza, and it doesn't taste at all like what we're talking about. This is the real thing here. Everybody here knows, because they've now had some of it, that the taste is phenomenal. And with a little bit of the sausage, a little bit of rapini, and some cheese on top of that, it pairs so well with the Chardonnay. Do you agree? Everybody agree with that? Okay. The Chardonnay, I told you before, is about $36. It's 14.5% alcohol. But what I like about it is the creaminess of it. So if you'll take your glass and kind of swirl it around for about 8 or 10 seconds and then take a little sip, you'll find that it has a kind of a nectarine taste to it, which I think is very nice for Chardonnay, and a little key lime. One of my favorite things to make pie with is key limes coming out of Florida. Not coming out of California, coming out of Florida. They taste different. Why? Soil. Back to the basics. The key limes from Florida are just so great, and they make wonderful key lime pie. In addition to that, the creaminess that I talk about, I think if you put some of it in your mouth and kind of hold it for a few seconds and then swallow it, you'd find that we have kind of a lushness in the taste of this Chardonnay. And you can tell, or if you're into wine at all, you can tell this has been aged in French oak. And it turns out this was aged in new French oak. Now, what's the difference? Well, obviously, if it's never had anything in it, the oak barrel is brand new, and you put some wine in it, you're going to get more results, if you will, or more flavors, and one of which is always vanilla that comes out of that barrel that goes into the wine, and that's a pretty good thing. So I think you'll find that the taste here is very good. The price is right amongst all the good Chardonnays. It's not less expensive, but it's certainly not more expensive. It's available in your local market, your retail wine store, and I suggest you check it out. Also, it has a fruitiness to it, not overpowering. The acidity is not too high. The tannin is not too high. The overall taste is really good, and I think it goes just extremely well with this pizza, the sausage, and rapini. We got to go to a break. So if you'll hang on, we'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet when we return right after these messages. You're listening to Wines du Jour at Settebello in Las Vegas. Be right back. Here at Settebello. Settebello is probably the best tasting pizza in Nevada. And I know that sounds pretty dramatic, but I'm telling you, the reason is the quality of the product that they use to make the pizza is important. They have something that they call, and it comes from Italy. It's called, hold on a second, I want to make sure I get the pronunciation correct. It's called Napoletana. Napoletana is a pizza, as I mentioned earlier in the program, that is, we call it soft. It's also known to be wet. You know, it's, don't take it on a negative way. That's a positive thing. And that's why it's so soft, you don't want to pick it up because it's soft enough so you eat it with a knife and a fork. And, folks, I just have to tell you, if you've got a lot of class, knife and fork is the way you eat your pizza. And you don't buy it from those delivery places. You make it at home or you come to Settebello, one or the other. That's a good thing. Or to my house. Yeah, that'll work. but the important thing is, it's the ingredients. Double zero, you can find double zero flour in some of the gourmet shops and so on, and that's a good thing. And if you're really into making pizza, make sure that you use, if it's available, double zero flour. You will make just a world of difference in the taste. Now, Adrian Graves, as I mentioned, is the general manager here at Settebello, and he's taken a break finally and is able to come over here and spend some time with us. And first of all, Adrian, thank you very much for your hospitality and allowing us to come in and share some of the great food with you and the Settebello story.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about Settebello from your standpoint. I talked a little bit about it, but I didn't cover it anywhere like you do. You've been around it for quite a while.
Yeah, about 6 years, actually, yesterday.
Yesterday was your anniversary. Very good.
6 years.
Congratulations.
Here. Yeah, I mean, we started, the first location was over in Henderson. I started there as a busser at 19 years old, you know. The owners went to on their mission back in early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
Went to Italy, learned all about Neapolitan pizza. They fell in love with it. Met Carmine, our head chef. He's still over at the Henderson location doing his thing and doing great things for the company. And
uh-huh.
Came back and started the store. Our original location was over in Henderson. We moved around a couple times to find the perfect spot, but now we're over there in the district and it's growing from there.
Sounds great. How long have you been here?
We've been at this location since 2013, October 2013.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you've got another celebration coming up here shortly.
Another one, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I've been bragging a little bit about your importing ingredients from different places as opposed to going down to your local wholesaler and say, I need prosciutto, I need this, that, and the other.
Right, right.
Which would give you a very mediocre pizza,
uh-huh.
And you don't do that. Your flour, you import it all from Italy.
Yeah, the double zero, like you said, is imported all from Italy. Our tomatoes are imported from Italy. Our mozzarella is imported from Italy. We make our sausage in-house. So we import as many things as we can.
Well, I mean, to me, that shows they have a passion. And folks, you know, in the food business, chefs, if you find a chef that has a passion for good food, that's the guy you want to hire.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they're hard to find, but when you find one, they're just absolutely great. I've got the passion. That's why I do what I do, is because I love food. You know, we all have to eat to live or live to eat, one or the other, but, you know, you can't go without eating. But if you're going to eat, my theory is why not eat the best you can? That doesn't mean the most expensive and doesn't mean the most elaborate, but the best quality. And that's what they do here when they make anything that comes out of this kitchen. And you should see this pizza oven. I would give I don't know what to have that in my backyard. That is absolutely beautiful. And I know it's not very inexpensive. That came from Italy, didn't it?
It's all everything is the grout is Vesuvian sand. All the tiles are from Italy. It's the real deal.
That's great. I mean, it's just wonderful. And the beauty of it is it has about roughly 500 degrees in temperature.
Oh, no, 900.
900 okay.
degrees.
And that's even better because the hotter the better when it comes to pizza.
Absolutely.
So when you're making one of your Napoletanas,
mm-hmm.
it goes in there for just about a minute or so and comes out? Or how does that work?
90 seconds. It takes 30 seconds to top it, 90 seconds to cook it. Theoretically, it should be 2 minutes long.
Okay. So, folks, if you come to Settebello and you don't know what to do or you don't have a favorite pizza that you always order no matter where you go, just come in and ask them to put one of those in the oven for you. I guarantee you're going to say, holy cow, this is not only unique but very, very tasty. And that's what it is. And it's not expensive. I mean, they don't get $40 for it. So try it. And if you don't like it, that's okay. We haven't seen anybody that didn't. But if you'd rather have, you know, pepperoni or whatever, that's all right as well. But we don't recommend it necessarily, right?
Spicy salami.
There you go.
That's
spicy
what we give
salami.
You.
That's great. Well, I think Setabello, as I said earlier, is about as good as you're going to get. So if you're in Las Vegas, if you're coming to Las Vegas or live here, be sure to check out one of the Setabellos either in the Green Valley Henderson area or over here. Got to go to a break. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the Internet right here on Wines du Jour.
Welcome back to Wines.
We're having a good time here at Setabello. And I'm going to talk about the second wine that we're serving. We talked about the Chardonnay already. Now we're going to talk about one of my favorite varietals, and that is Pinot Noir. This Pinot Noir comes to us from the Monterey area in the St. Lucia Highlands, AVA, which I mentioned earlier, which is a specific area up in the Monterey area. And the vineyard that they have is 13 acres, and it is just primo. When I say that, I mentioned earlier about the Chardonnay, there's two clones that they have that they use, and they blend the two together. I'm just going to tell you what it is because everybody thinks it's all kind of complicated, and they got a big name and so on and so forth that you have to really know what you're doing. Let me just tell you that one of the clones is number 96, and the other clone is number 76. Not too complicated if you're in the business. But if you say 96, everybody in the business knows exactly what clone you're talking about. And if they say 76, they also know what clone you're talking about. So they don't have fancy, well, I guess they do have, but they don't use fancy names about their clones. They just give them numbers. 284 and 515 and so on and so forth is what we typically use for a varietal depending on where it is, what the varietal is, where it's, what country you're in and so on. It's kind of weird. But that's the way it is. Anyway, so what is the most, well, let's put it this way. What is the very first pizza made in Napoli-Dama area or Naples? It was called what? Yes, you know. You do know. Santa Margherita. Santa Margherita, the simplest pizza that you could possibly get. And when you get one, you say, God, this is delicious. No pepperoni, no sausage, none of this. Just simple with basil, tomato, and cheese. Ah, three things. That's all. Santa Margherita. Excellent. And that's what the chef has done here. He brought it out for us to taste along with this Pinot Noir. And oh, my God. They both taste great individually, but together you know what pairing food is all about. I think, anyway. It's very good. This pizza is almost too fragile to eat compared to what you normally get. You know what I'm saying? And when you cut it up with a fork and a knife, it tastes, I don't know, maybe it shouldn't, but it tastes even better when you do that than if you just, you know, I see all these people from New York, they take a pizza, they fold it in half and shove it in their mouth, and they say, boy, this pizza is really good. I just don't understand that. I guess I enjoy food too much. Not volume, but quality. You know, and that's what we're talking about here. By using it very nicely. The AVA is Santa Lucia Highlands. I've mentioned that before. That's in the Monterey area. And for those of you who don't know, Monterey is not too far from Santa Cruz, which is not too far from San Francisco. It's all in the Bay Area, south part of the Bay Area. And the Santa Cruz Mountains, there's a bay there that they call Santa Cruz. And I have to tell you, Monterey has a Monterey Bay, and what people don't seem to know, not too many know, is that if you had an opportunity to look under the water in that bay in Monterey, it goes out underneath the ground back further than the Grand Canyon does. Underground. Unbelievable. I mean, I don't know how many millions of gallons of water there are under there, and you don't even know it because you look at the bay and you don't realize that all that water is there too. What that does is it changes the quality of the soil above it, and therefore the grapes that we plant in the Monterey area end up with a certain taste that you can't duplicate anywhere. And that's where the Monterey Bay or the Monterey area, the AVA, Santa Lucia Highlands, comes from, is because that taste is unique. And there's only two varietals that they plant in those areas, and that one of them is the Chardonnay, two different clones by McIntyre, and also Pinot Noir. That's it. The soil, the weather, you know, how much rain, how much wind, how much all that sort of thing all comes into play in the Monterey area. And let me tell you, they produce grapes that are just so beautiful. In fact, what they do, I don't want to get too technical here because we talk about things like canopy management and so on and so forth. I don't want to do that. But you can tell, you know what a cluster is, because when you go to the grocery store, they have clusters of grapes that you can buy. So you know to pick up a little cluster. What they do, instead of taking the grapes off the cluster and then taking them to the winery and running them through the process, with Pinot Noir, they take a strong percentage, like 78 or 40, 78 or 80 percent, with the, in the cluster, and use the clusters of grape to crush the grape. I know it sounds like, what the hell's the difference? There is a difference. And so the Pinot Noir that we're tasting tonight was cluster grapes. They squeezed them into the winery as opposed to basically individual. It's a little bit different, but unique. And it works very, very well. It's 14.3% alcohol, which is very good. And I mentioned earlier the cost on a retail basis is about $38. Depending on where you buy it throughout the country. But McIntyre is the name you need to know about. In fact, McIntyre Vineyards from Monterey County, that's the whole county of Monterey, that's where the bay is. And if you've ever been up in that area, incidentally, that's not too far from Pebble Beach. If you like to play golf, Pebble Beach has one of the world's famous golf courses. I can just tell you that before you go, plan on spending some money if you want to play there. It's $500 for green fees per round. That's for 18 holes, $500. But they also have a couple of hotels right there at the golf course, the Pebble Beach Hotel, which is about $450 or $475 a night for two people. And they've got great restaurants as well. So we've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this Pinot Noir, and then we're going to go to wine number three, which is the McIntyre Merlot. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wine du Jour. We're having a great time here. We're having a great time here at Set the Bello and enjoying not only the food, but the wines as well. And the pairings, I think, are really, really just right on, both with the Chardonnay and with the Pinot Noir. Now, we're going to move on to wine number three, which is Merlot, or from those of you from Texas, Merlot. But Merlot was considered to be a rounding grape. And what the heck is a rounding grape? And that just means that they used to take something like Cabernet Sauvignon that maybe had a little bit of a harsh finish to it and add a little bit of Merlot juice to it, and that would just stop it. Thank you very much. And so for many, many years, everybody added a little bit of Merlot to their Cabernet Sauvignon, and that was it. Turns out that wineries all over the world started planting Merlot. And when they did that, we found that there's an awful lot of Merlot and not a lot of necessity to pair it or to blend it with the Cabernet Sauvignon. So what are we going to do with this extra juice? Well, they said, you know what? This is pretty good on its own. Why don't we just go ahead and bottle it by itself? And that's where Merlot first came out just several years ago, by itself. And now you can buy Merlot. Almost every winery has Merlot for sale under their label. But Merlot is a pretty good taste, and it goes well with food. In this case, here at Set to Bello, we have McIntyre wines coming to us from a specific vineyard in Monterey called Kimberly Vineyards. Kimberly Vineyards. And that's in the Arroyo Seco area, if you know where that is. It is 14.6% alcohol, which is right there where it belongs. And this Merlot is very reasonably priced at $25. So when you get that, along with, let me tell you about the pizza that the chef has put together, I think you're going to really like it. It's not even a pizza. I'm sorry. It's not a pizza. It's pulled pork. Now, who doesn't know about pulled pork? You can even go to a McDonald's and buy a pulled pork sandwich. But pulled pork done properly tastes really good. And if you take a little Parmesan cheese and put the pulled pork on a crostino and then cover it with Parmesan cheese and kind of melt it a little bit, it is unbelievable. Take a taste of this pulled pork crostini and then have a sip of this Merlot. And you'll say, boy, this pairs really well. Now, it's on a crostini. Everybody probably knows that crostini is made from normally Italian or French bread that's been sliced, right? And then you take it and you either put it in the oven and toast it. And if you do, the way you make your dish then is called a crostini. But if you take that same piece of bread, instead of putting it in the oven, take it out and put it on the grill and grill it instead of bake it, it's now called a bruschetta. Who knew? So most Italians don't know the difference. Now you know more than a lot of Italians do. It's either bruschetta if the bread has been grilled or crostini if the bread has been baked in the oven. Same exact, you know, the end result is exactly the same except that the bread has just a little bit different taste. In fact, bruschetta probably has more flavor than the crostini because grilled you have a little carcinogen on the bread that you don't have when you use the crostini. And I have to tell you, it is pretty doggone tasty. So now if you take this crostini that's been oven baked, and it's in the pizza oven, which is I'd love to have, and then you take some pulled pork that they've made and put shredded pulled pork on the top of that crostini, and then on top of that, take a little Parmigiano Reggiano and put on top of that. Let it kind of melt a little bit, and then unbelievable, that result. This would be a wonderful way to start a meal. You could have a couple of these for a meal. You know, this could be dessert for those that don't care for sweets. I mean, it's just really a good, overall, a very good item, and crostini. I hope you were able to understand exactly what I'm saying here. That's a good thing. Now, this wine, the Merlot, this is packed with fruit. When you take a taste of this Merlot, fruit just kind of jumps right out at you. And the fruit, we're going to break it down. I'm going to break it down a little bit for you. It has a lot of blackberry taste to it, which I happen to like. It has a little cassis, which I think is good. It has a little bit of licorice, which is kind of unusual, but very tasty with this Merlot. And what I like about it, it has a lavender flavor to it. Now, you may not be familiar with the lavender taste, so kind of see if you can think about it when you put it in your mouth and before you swallow it and so on and so forth. See if you can pick up lavender notes. If you can, great. If not, it's okay. It doesn't make you bad. But I'm just telling you that there's some nice lavender involved in this. The acidity and the tannins are very nice, not overpowering, but definitely there. So when you taste that pulled pork along with the acidity in this wine, I think you're going to find that it's pretty doggone good. Hey, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this and Set to Bello and Wines du Jour and what we're doing next week and so on and so forth. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet right here on Wines du Jour in Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome back to Wine du Jour. Man, we're having a great time here. This pulled pork crostini with Parmesan cheese is killer. Isn't that good? And then you take a nice sip of that Merlot. I have to tell you, it's a nice pairing. Very, very, very good. Again, the McIntyre Merlot came to us from the Kimberley Vineyards in Arroyo Seco, as opposed to where we talked about a little bit earlier with Monterey County and the Santa Lucia Highlands, which is the AVA that it's in. AVA is just an area that has been designated by the federal government. So if you see something that says Santa Lucia Highlands on it, you know that it came from a specific area, and you can't fake it. You know, you can't say, oh, it's California. You know, in fact, let me mention that, because California, if a wine just says it's from California, it could be from any and everywhere in the state of California. If it says Monterey County, then all the grapes have to come from Monterey County, nowhere else. If it says Central Coast, then it could be anywhere from Santa Cruz to Santa Barbara along the coast. That's called the Central Coast, and the grapes have to come from only there and nowhere else. Paso Robles, they have to come from that Paso Robles area, which just happens to be a county in California. But it has to be, they have to be grown and processed in Paso Robles. Same way anywhere else in the world. Say France, could be anywhere in France. But if they say a particular town in France, then they have to come from that particular region. That's the law that is worldwide. So you don't have to worry about trying to get something that you don't expect to get, or think you're getting something that you're not getting. So that's a pretty good thing. And that's what the AVA concept is all about here in America. And every good region that grows grapes and makes really nice wines usually is designated as an AVA, like Santa Barbara, as an example, or Santa Maria, or Paso Robles, as I mentioned, and so on. They all have their own little AVA. And that makes you and I able to decide what we want to buy when we go to the store, instead of just a beautiful label. You know, it's like betting on the gray horse at the racetrack because it's pretty, or the one that just took a crap before it got up there, or whatever the case may be. It's not the way to choose a horse to bet on, but that's the way I have to tell you, I'm not making it up. That's the way a lot of people choose horses at the racetrack. But we're not talking about betting here. We're talking about great wines. And one of the things that we like to do here at Wines du Jour is to give you each and every week three different wines, generally from the same winery, and pair it with whatever upscale restaurant we're at with some of their food. And like tonight, some people say, pizzeria, it's an upscale restaurant? Absolutely, because it's not an average pizza. You know, we're not down, I'm not going to mention any names like Pizza Hut, but we're not going to do any of those. We're talking about real quality pizza at a reasonable cost in a place that just demands to have something good, or they're not going to put it out. If the chef doesn't like it, it doesn't come out to the customer. And that's important to know, at least I think it is. Now, we've got just about a minute before we have to go, and I just want to thank everybody for coming here tonight. The fact with the Chardonnay, the McIntyre Estate Chardonnay, is absolutely great with the sausage and sautéed rapini. Wasn't that good? A lot of people said, I've never heard of rapini, but boy, this tastes pretty good. The second one was the Estate Pinot Noir, which, of course, I like pretty well. But along with that, they took that very simple but very tasty pizza margherita and put that on the table. Very thin crust. You know, there's no such thing as thick crust unless you're from Chicago. But thin crust pizza is what everybody likes. And then last but not least, the beautiful Kimberley Vineyard Merlot from Arroyo Seco from McIntyre, along with the pulled pork crostini with Parmigiano Reggiano.